All right, our number two here on a Wednesday, the final day of fall. I know that sounds so weird to say, but it's absolutely true. The winter solstice is tomorrow. And Margaret Fetty, that means the days will start getting longer in just a minute or two, but that's better than going the other direction.
I'm totally for that.
And it got dark quickly. When that cloud covers around, whew. It gets dark. Hour number two here on a Wednesday, December 20th. That is Margaret Fetty in her final hour of radio in her 11-year career here on the airways.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And the reason Margaret is leaving is bigger and better things. And since there is, you've seen the movie Multiplicity with Michael Keaton, right? Where they make like six or eight Michael Keatons because his life is so busy. So one goes and takes the kids to school. One does this. One does that.
Oh,
so
man.
They're not cloning you just yet.
Oh, I could use that. I could really use that.
And that's why Margaret is she's too busy. But we thank you for your 11 years of, let's see, President. We talked about this a little bit on Monday. President Clinton, or President Bush, President Obama, President Trump. We covered four presidents. That's a chunk of history right there. And to look back on it, it's funny because some of these gadgets and tools we didn't even have.
Oh, my goodness. Just our amazing thing that we call a phone that's really actually a computer.
Yeah, a handheld. Cannon.
We went from having this big monster thing that people used to carry around to this little tiny slim computer in our pocket.
And now
it's amazing.
We can take the internet anywhere we go, and we've been more
and the internet, the growth of that in that time, amazing.
The information
the
age that went along.
I mean,
with
I was life. The first person who had a sewing business that actually had a website.
Yeah.
By far, because I had my first website in 2006.
Get it started, and.
So.
Yeah, now we could just everywhere we go, we wouldn't know what to do without having one of these.
Oh, it's amazing.
In our hand. And the information age has been fantastic where you can get it at the drop of a dime.
It is.
So we've tried to meld and keep you through
and
that.
And I can reach people in a way I never would have been able to in the past.
And radio does that as well because
exactly.
Our next guest, and this is where I was going with this, has brought us information over the last years that maybe we don't find on our handheld computer devices.
That's for sure.
And we bring in our good friend and county councilwoman, Marty Hawk. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. As I said, I think I'm feeling better than you are this morning.
Well.
So I hope that you recuperate quickly, take your vitamin pills, and don't breathe on anyone.
I think the good news is I've not gone to the Kleenex box once in the first hour. So that's maybe I'm psyching myself out. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe I've overblown this, but we're going to get it on. You and Margaret, did you guys come in at the same time on the radio program? We're trying to figure this out at the break because we know you've been on the council, Marty. We won't tell people how long that's been, but when did you start? Because I don't know if you and Margaret were brought in as dueling adversaries or points of view. I don't, because it was before my time.
Well, and you know, I really don't have the date where I really started. I remember that I was doing it back when 9/11 hit. I wasn't on the show that morning. Someone else was, but I remember it being saying, "Oh, look what's going on." So I know that I was.
Oh, so they brought Margaret in to fight with you. I like that. There we go. We balanced the books out. So that's great because you guys have really brought some great points of view to this program over the years, and now I'll need someone else to battle with you on Wednesday mornings.
Well, I am up to the challenge. I mean,
that's what we like because we want, as we were talking about, in the information age, not all the information perhaps is right there in front of us, but you have a front row seat every, Wednesday or Tuesday nights, usually at council meetings, and pass on some of the details that could get lost in the shuffle.
Well, and I really appreciate the opportunity because you don't always get the background information in the newspaper. And
I'm not slighting the newspaper. I don't want anybody to take that out of context.
But there's only so much that can be printed, and I think everybody's realizing that. But there's also sometimes a real lack of information in the newspaper, and you bring it to us, Marty, and we do appreciate that.
Well, it you know, there's just a lot more that you can say if you have, you know, a few minutes here to get the information out. And it's not always the same direction, and that sort of brings a balance to the table, which I think is desperately needed.
And that's all we try to provide here, a viewpoint, and then we have adults listening that can make their own decision after they accumulate the information. So that is the good news, and we thank both of you for all those contributions.
But however, it is the holiday season, and I want to just remind folks out there what a great group of county employees we have. Right now, we have a deputy from the Sheriff's Department who has been deployed to Afghanistan, and so they have been raising different supplies and so forth to be sent to Deputy Dylan Friend, who is in the Marine Reserves and has been deployed to Afghanistan. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Deputy Friend and his entire family and friends. And congratulations to the Sheriff's Department that they have put forth the effort to get packages to send out to Deputy Friend and to many of his colleagues serving there with him in Afghanistan. You know, my nephew just got back from Afghanistan, so we need to remember our servicemen and women at this time of the year.
We need to always remember, Marty, you're right, and we thank all those folks for their effort. Keeping us free is not free. It's not cheap. It does come with costs. Some of those we just don't see on the bottom line or on balance sheets either. Speaking of costs and balance sheets, last Wednesday we spoke to you before a Wednesday night meeting that we asked you the question, would there be a vote on the food and beverage tax? Now we have our answers to all these questions. If you want to just give us a brief wrap-up on how that meeting went, the question I'll have for you moving forward is, what is going to be the county council's involvement in this timeline, whether it's influence or voting on stuff? Take us through this process, if you would.
Right. Well, as far as the night that the decision was made, there was at least some consideration, I believe, to have tabled that motion because we had information coming at us, the financial information we didn't even get until we arrived, the updated financial information, in addition to which there was not really a plan for how we were going to renovate our existing building. However, and I really thought that I could sort of count the votes. I thought it was a 3-3, and that fourth vote, which was Shelley Yoder, couldn't really read what she might do. And as it turned out, she voted in favor, and so that ship has now sailed. And so then you think about, okay, what's next steps? And so we have, of course, they'll start collecting those dollars, the restaurants and the grocery stores and the filling stations, any place where you buy a cup of coffee or whatever it is you're buying to consume that's already prepared, then you would be paying this tax on that. But that will be started collected in February, the end of February. But in the meantime, the commission that's supposed to be an oversight commission and the ones who really will be controlling the purse strings of these dollars will be appointed. I don't really know, you know, exactly the deadline date for that. I don't think there is a deadline date, but that will happen. So that will be put together. And remember, I've heard it'll be controlled by the city, but actually the legislation is written so poorly, you can't really tell who would control it because there's going to be a city council member, the mayor, a county council member, somebody from the commissioners. And so then that so far is even, but then there's
who is going to appoint all these people?
Well, the mayor will be elected and is an elected official. The city council will appoint their own city council representative. The county council will appoint their own representative.
Okay.
The county council does not, not the commissioners?
And
no,
then the county commissioners will have somebody who will be on there.
Okay, so
it's every branch. And then there's three citizen representatives from the restaurant area now, and that has to be appointed by the executive body of both the city and the county. So that means the mayor, will have three that he'll want, and the county will have three they want. Now, if it's the same three, okay, done deal. If it's not the same three, there's nothing in the legislation that says how that vote will go. And so that's part of why I thought the legislation needed to be readdressed. However, once that is all done, they'll have to get in the room, shut the door, and argue it out, I guess. I don't know. But we're talking huge dollars, so that should have been written a bit better in the legislation. But once that will all happen, then in the meantime, I mean, there is a lot of work yet to be done by people deciding who the architect is going to be, how the building really is going to look. There's so much yet to be done, and that will not happen overnight. That will take a very long time to put all of these numbers together, budgets together, and so forth, before a bond could be put in place. And part of what had bothered me was that our initial information received from the financial person said included bonds to be put in place by February. And I thought, how could they do this? Well, they aren't going to do this.
They're no, they can't do that, right?
Right, right. I questioned that, and indeed, there was a reason to question it. There was no way that could happen. So there's still a lot of work to be done on this, and I really believe that as long as people with good taste are working on the way this is going to look, hopefully we won't be put off by having that much growth right there in that couple of blocks. Because I know a lot of people were worried about that. What's it going to look like? How's it going to affect downtown and so forth? But these are all things that will be worked out over time, and the county council will really not have a major role to play in it, except that we have to continue to be watching at budgets and numbers, because if it is determined, once they've put real numbers together, that there's not enough revenue in the food and beverage tax, then somewhere from some place, if that building gets built and the revenue is not sufficient, then the county council will have votes on it. Remember, we do vote on the innkeeper's tax. Our vote is the final vote on innkeeper's tax. So we have to keep an eye on how all of this works. But in the meantime, we have to get about county government business, and there's always a new challenge. And one of the things I have to say is congratulations to the auditor's office. It was a very unusual experience to see settlement. That means all of the dollars that's been collected by taxpayers have paid, comes in, and then it gets sent out to all the taxing units. And so congratulations.
Just
to
how
the
it should be, right?
Well, but normally it takes a lot longer to figure out what the settlement numbers will be. And so we are told settlement's already been made to all the taxing units. Now, that is a lot tied to this LAO equipment, this accounting equipment that we have invested in that was able to pull these dollars and numbers.
So it's working.
And so it appears it's working. Now, we have some of the units are saying, whoa, I didn't get what I thought I would get and so forth. Well, this may very well be, and we'll find out in the days to come, because that's usually what happens. You do the settlement, and then if people are saying, whoa, so I have questions, then you'll know whether or not you hit the right numbers, or if you need to go back and say, well, what if there's a problem there. However, what I think we're going to find is that our circuit breaker, which will come off of that settlement number, is greater this time around than in the past. And so each of the taxing units might be seeing less dollars actually come to them. And the way that they can look at it is they look at the circuit breaker report, and that's online. It's part of the state documents. And they go by not their certified levy that we would have put together during budget time. That is the total amount of taxes that each of the taxing units were going to ask for. But you go to the next line, which is the abstract levy, because that changes a bit before they actually send out that tax bill. And from that abstract levy, for the fall distribution. You have to take off the amount that you've already collected in June. So the total, the abstract levy is how much you anticipate collecting the entire year. And then you subtract from there what you thought you were going to collect in June, and you subtract all of the circuit breaker total. And then that difference is what you should be receiving. Now, there still could be some adjustments. For instance, if the county had gone into our unappropriated funds and paid back taxpayers when taxpayers won, if they had a dispute and they won the dispute and then we are required to pay them, then we go into all the other taxing units and say, okay, now you have to help pay us back. So there's always different numbers to be looking at. And that may sound like real boring to the average person out
there.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, it does.
But let me tell you, if you are paying taxes, you had better hope that what if you're paying for your township, that your township gets those dollars.
Amen.
Or if you're paying for county government, you better be looking at did county government actually get it. And if each unit was not thinking about, well, I'm not really going to get this entire amount of levy that we thought we were passing, this property tax levy, because there's all these people out there that their property assessed value that brought in 1%, that they don't have to pay any more than 1% of that value. And if they don't pay it, nobody else pays it. That means those taxing units, including the schools, will not receive that total allotment of money. So these are things that, while it may sound boring right now, we will see all those taxing units having to look at their budgets and say, okay, do I have to make adjustments, or am I already prepared? Did I believe this was going to happen, and did I prepare for it?
There's an article in today's Herald Times on A5 talking about the state's revenue shortfalls expected to continue through the budget cycle. Does that trickle down to affect Monroe County?
Well, it having to do with grants or something of the sort, it just certainly might. And I haven't had time to really study exactly where those shortfalls are. I know that when we're talking about the dollars that's going to be coming back for the community crossing grants for our highway, et cetera. So I'm wondering if it's like in sales tax. I haven't reviewed the article, but remember, a lot of that tax that people are paying at the pump is supposed to be coming back into locals for some of these community crossing grants. So I hope that's not going to change that, but you still have to just work with the dollars that you have. So
Marty Hawk is our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in every Wednesday to keep us intact of what's happening with county finance, and there's usually plenty of stuff. Margaret Fetty is here as well. And as we move on for the holidays, things get quieter. Do you have any more meetings? What's your schedule here for the next couple of weeks?
Well, last night there was a catch-up meeting that lasted about 10 minutes with some items that really should have been on the December 12th agenda, and for whatever reason, it didn't get put on there. There wasn't anything on the list that couldn't have been decided in January because it was some movement around of dollars that didn't have to happen before the end of the year. I was told it would be a 10-minute meeting, boom, 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 and it was. And so since it was really housekeeping kind of measures, I did not go in town for their 10-minute meeting. But I did watch it on CAST TV. Thank goodness for CAST TV. In addition to which, speaking of CAST TV, I saw that on the list being charged to Ellisville was a coverage of the Richland Bean Blossom School District. So I have spoken with Michael White and tried to convey to him that should not be included in anything having to do with Ellisville, because Ellisville is not responsible for CATS TV to cover that school system. That school system is a county school system, just like the Monroe County Community School is a school system. So wherever they include that for coverage for the Monroe County school system, it should also be covered for the Richland Bean Blossom school system, so that the people on the Ellisville Town Board is not thinking that they're paying for something that is not their responsibility. So I did have that conversation with him, and I think we'll see a difference in that, because we pay a really pretty high library tax, much higher than most counties, and we have great service. I mean, our Cats TV, what will we do without them? But we have to recognize that coverage for the school systems is real, real important. People like to follow along with what's going on.
Marty, after, you know, what little information we get from our local news sources, with the exception of, like, you being on here and so forth, if it weren't for Cats, you really wouldn't know what's going on. And so I agree with you. They're an amazing resource, and I'm so, so grateful that they're here. I ended up getting to watch the entire council meeting the other night that you were on because of it.
Well, and it really did go on and on and on forever. And then there was one of the council members, I timed it, was like 12 minutes that somebody on and on and on about explaining their vote. And yet we were telling the public, oh, no, you only have 2 or 3 minutes.
Right.
Then unless we're actually going over financial records so that we're making an explanation of these dollars, then we should have a time limit, too. Because, after all...
You didn't know it was grandstanding night? It sure seemed like it.
Well, I mean, it certainly was, but it was like I finally stood up, had my coat on. I said, if they don't call for the vote pretty soon, I'm out the door. It was just a very, very long meeting. And
I watched the entire thing from beginning to end. Yes, it was. It was a very long meeting.
Tough.
Right. But that's part of the gig here, you know. I'm happy, absolutely happy to serve. Remember, also right now, what's really brewing and big time is this whole transfer facility thing. And if you've been watching that, and even on the Cats Newsweek, they were covering that as well. So we believe, at least we've been told by the county commissioners, there might be some adjustment into what will be allowed in that kind of zoning. So watch for what's going to happen with planning and zoning in the county as well, and whether or not this will have any legal right to move forward with that transfer station there. That's really going to hurt our job creation on the west side, in addition to ruining people's property values and their lives in that area.
Well, that's why we check in with you every Wednesday, so you can keep us in tune with such large issues.
Right. How that ever was allowed to get that out of hand, how anyone would believe that they could do this and the world wouldn't know about it, or that there would be no problem with it, I'm still totally amazed and shocked at that. And, of course, the people here in my district want me to meet with them and help them out, and I understand the county council doesn't really have a vote on this particular issue, but we do have a vote on who our representative is at the Solid Waste District. We do have a vote on who's going to represent us at the Plan Commission, and they have really a part of their charge should be to bring information back and let the rest of the council know what is going on. So hopefully as we move forward with those appointments, that will happen. I know that Lee Jones is that she's our appointment to the Plan Commission, and she really was apparently as shocked with what happened with this whole transfer facility as anyone. I mean, she hadn't been notified either. So we have a lot to do to represent people fairly here in this county, and I think that we'll have to move forward with that. And of course, we'll have new the elected officials. We'll have a new president and a vice president. I don't know how that's going to go. And next year is an election year, and that's going to be a lot of pressure for people to do big long speeches and hard for us to get our work done. So maybe they'll take a look at what they did last night and were able to get that work done in 10 minutes and understand we don't have to have 3-hour meetings to get something accomplished.
Well, Marty, that's I don't think anyone's going to argue with any of that. Margaret, one last argument for her, Marty, before we go?
No, I just want to thank you.
Well, before we hang up, let me just say that, Margaret, while we don't always agree on every issue, let me tell you, it has been a joy and a challenge to try to be ready for your questions because you always have such good questions. I don't always have the answers ready, but I certainly appreciate that you have followed along with everything in county and city government. That is a lot of homework. And I am a bit, to be truthful, a bit apprehensive about who's going to come along and be asking the questions next time around because it's like, oh my. We have learned how to banter back and forth and come up with respecting one another. And so I will miss that. And I wish you the absolute best of luck, best of life, best of blessings in your future.
Thank you, Marty. And it's been a pleasure having this time with you also. So you have a wonderful holiday season. And I'm sure we'll see each other around town.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Merry everyone, Christmas. And happy Hanukkah for those folks. So that I tried to say that last week and didn't get that in.
Well, I probably was a little quick, but yes. Happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, happy everything. Thanks, Marty. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
County Councilwoman Marty Hawk checks in with us every Wednesday morning. And when we come back, we'll have a special guest in the studio. A little surprise for Margaret here on her final program with us. Where are we? 833 WGCL. And your forecast for Bloomington, 36 in clouds this morning. We'll see sunshine this afternoon and temperatures in the mid-40s. That's not bad. Tonight, cool down to 30. But even better, as the first day of winter, we will welcome with open arms 51 and partly cloudy on Thursday, only 44 on Thursday night, but we'll watch the rain as it should be steady. 53 on Friday completes the work week before we get cooler for the Christmas holiday. Updated forecast, live radar, find it all at WGCLradio.com. It's our final program with Margaret Fetty of her 11-year tenure. Don't let me forget before we get out of this half hour, we have to give away a Christmas prize pack.
Oh, that's right.
So we'll do that here momentarily. So good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful.
And one of your going away presents is our good friend Bette Savage from the city of Bloomington. Bette, good morning. How are you?
Hi, it's fun to be back.
Well, if I turn your mic on, we'll get you working here in some capacity. Let's make sure that button works. Can you say hello again? Hello?
I can.
Oh, there we go.
Right, ah, there she is.
You sound so much back here.
It is. Yeah. Did you miss it?
Yeah.
Nothing's changed, has it?
Nothing. Everything looks exactly the same.
Well, and we're
happy to have you.
Thank you.
Look at you two. And we've always had fun with Bette on Wednesday mornings because Bette does two things. She always gives us good stories and laugh and brings us great volunteer opportunities where we can help pass the word on. Especially this time of year, Bette, the students we know go away, and sometimes there's more opportunities. And people tend to pick up those opportunities because it's the giving season, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people have a little extra time on their hands. They've taken off work. They've gotten their shopping done, whatever. And
there you go.
They want to do something. They finally have a chance to give back a little. So, yeah, we like it when people think, local people that haven't gone on vacation, think about giving back right now. Maybe take some shifts at Community Kitchen or Shalom Community Center.
Because as sometimes we do slow down for the holidays in a work environment, except for you, Margaret, of course. the other folks in need, and that doesn't slow down. So if we could get everybody to help out, that would be great. All right, Margaret, now we don't have to wait to bring Bette in on the phone or I hit the wrong button. She's sitting right here with us.
We've got the right button press. So, and we're going to start off with Sycamore Land Trust in the spotlight today.
Yeah, I love Sycamore.
Yeah, me too.
They do good work. I mean, they buy land that we all can then use, right? It's conserved. And then a lot of people donate land to them.
It is pretty wonderful.
They just had a huge donation. Where was that? Did I read in the paper? Was that Owen County?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Massive amount of land.
Yeah, an old farm. Yeah, it's just a fantastic organization. And they... Volunteers, they don't have very many one-time volunteer opportunities, but they really want people to get involved in a longer term to maintain their hiking trails or take out invasive species. And they do a really nice job with environmental education, so raising a new crop of people who care.
Yeah, right? It's pretty wonderful. So anybody out there, if you're thinking about the wonderful lands around us and you want to help save it, Sycamore Land Trust is the way to go there. So We are going to start talking about our different volunteer opportunities, and most of these are through the end of the year. So if you have some time, they would love to have your help. We have needs for some ushers for Peter Pan.
I can't believe those jobs stay open. How quickly do those fill when you can get a free show out of the deal?
I know. It's amazing to me you had this. I was like looking at this going, are you kidding?
They actually have a lot of shifts open. So just through December 30th, yeah, I'm tempted. My husband said, the other night he said, how come we're not seeing Peter Pan? And
Well, we're not there yet.
So I think it's pretty likely we'll be pulling that.
So now when you pull a shift, does your husband get an aisle seat so he can see you and talk to you while the show's going?
Me.
Oh, he'll volunteer with you.
He'll do it with me. All you have to do is show up an hour early. We already have our black pants and white shirts. And you stay a little bit late, you pick up afterwards. But
you get a free show.
But you get a free show, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
And that Peter Pan crowd, it's not like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. You're not there cleaning up for a couple hours afterwards, are you?
No, it's pretty cool. Okay, so PALS is tearing down some fences, and they need your help.
Yes, so People and Animal Learning Services, that's the therapeutic horse riding program in Monroe County, they're tearing down their old pasture fence, and they need some people to do that, and then they're going to put up new fencing. So, and they're hoping to get it done before the end of the first week of January.
Yeah, because it's kind of cold otherwise. Oh my, yeah, they need that help soon. Mm-hmm. All right, so the City of Bloomington's Commission on Status of Black Males is seeking volunteers for the Bicentennial Literacy Initiative. I did that well.
That was not easy. Remember who types that, Margaret. Just remember, she's sitting right next to you.
Yeah, and who named it?
Is that you as well?
No.
Oh,
okay. I mean, it's a long name.
It is.
Okay, so
it needs an acronym.
It has one.
Well,
actually,
we're just going to call it the
CSBM.
Well, there you go. I like it.
There are going to be a lot of bicentennial initiatives in 2018, and this is one of them. So the idea is to have men read in public places, so schools or community centers or the library, something like that, read to children for 200 hours.
That's each volunteer, right? They need to put in 200
just,
hours. Oh,
just
in total?
Get some men out there reading to kids, because kids need male role models, and if men are reading, then kids are going to think, oh, it's cool for me to read, especially the boys, right?
Absolutely.
So it's a real simple thing. You sign up, you do it. They do want people to register by January 5th.
Okay, so get out there and volunteer for that one. Okay, and so we have this is a Martin Luther King Jr. Particular volunteer opportunity, and they're going to do a poverty simulation. So what do we need to help them with on that?
This one is particularly interesting. I've been through a poverty simulation before, and they're really, really interesting.
Hmm.
So in this case, it's organized by South Central Community Action Program. They're going to have it at the Southeast Y, January the 15th in the afternoon. And their volunteers, basically, it's a little bit like Reality Storm. The volunteers,
About that.
The volunteers staff stations, so they might staff a food stamp station or a used car station or whatever. Not used car. It's all social services. So if you were in poverty and you were going around to different social services trying to help,
get some help
to get your life back together again, that it's those social services. And then the participants,
they wrap them up in red tape.
Yeah,
you got it.
Okay, that was it. That's the short version. That's it. They wrap them up in red tape. But the volunteers they're recruiting, they need 25 volunteers, and they want all of them to be people who have experienced poverty. So they're going to give it back the way they've gotten it.
Keep talking.
Okay, we have to. Yeah, we can't. We cannot leave the airs. He's taking a picture.
Well, I
got
to take a picture for Facebook. Everybody wants to know. Bette and Margaret on their final. I couldn't take a picture when Marty Hawk was here. She was just on the phone.
That's true.
A picture of the board.
That's true.
So when I did it, we had lunch, and at my lunch, all I got was a piece of toast, and I got to watch other people eating pizza or fancy meal
just
because
like
I was
in
at
real
the
life.
Poor
yeah.
table.
Yeah.
I was at the poor table. I had to watch, and that drove me more crazy than anything else was not getting to eat. But I really encourage people to participate in this, and the volunteers do need to be people who have experienced poverty.
Excellent. Well, you got to walk a mile, right? Isn't that the whole?
Well, yeah, but I also think that sometimes people who haven't experienced that, being the person sitting at the table with the crumbs versus the might be a little illuminating also.
Right. Exactly.
So yeah. I don't know.
And Margaret,
or is it the people who come actually do get to experience that? Is that what is going on? Okay, maybe I'm misunderstanding
it. The people in poverty are in the social service tables.
Okay, so they're like the leaders, and then the people who come and visit these. Mm-hmm. So where would we see this? I mean, if you wanted to go to this poverty simulation, how would you do that?
You could go to the Community Action Program's website. So it's, or email Catherine at INSCCAP. So that's the Indiana South Central Community Action Program .org.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very interesting. So we are down to the bottom here, and it is our community wish list. And this time, it is for District 10 Pro Bono Project. And this group of people actually help provide justice by doing legal assistance for people who can't afford it.
That's right. They have lawyers that work for no charge or very reduced charge. I'm not sure which one it is. In civil cases, not criminal cases. And the things that they need a DVD projector and a laptop, a desktop, electric power bars. Sounds like something you eat.
I hope so.
What do we call them something else. I don't know what.
Power strips?
We call them power strips. Yeah,
yeah, okay, that's power
what,
strips.
Is that what they were asking for? Oh, interesting.
Power bar. I have a electric power bar when I get off the air for some energy.
A few office chairs, filing cabinet, and office supplies.
Okay, so we have them all taken care of. Hopefully they will get what their wish list is, as it is Christmas time.
Now, if people would like more information, where do they go to get it?
BloomingtonVolunteerNetwork.org, or call me. I'm at 812-349-3472.
And let's not forget as well, I don't want to get, because we're going to get in the holidays. Everybody gets in the holidays. But right when we get out of the holidays, you're very busy with Martin Luther King Day, not a day off, but a day on. Is that all on the website? We can catch it as well?
Yep. It's BloomingtonVolunteerNetwork.org/MLK Day. And I wanted to mention the Bicentennial Party.
That's right. That's New Year's Eve.
You got it. New Year's Eve.
You know, does it take a half hour to post on Facebook every time, or is it just from the mobile site?
No.
I'm going through 47 steps here just trying to get a picture of Margaret in bed on the internet.
My goodness.
Do you guys have some kind of rules I have to unlock here? Do you have a key I have to get into here?
It says now
it'll be uploaded.
Oh, there you go.
Go to WGCL Radio. You can see the Batman and Robin over there.
I hope nobody was holding their breath while you did that.
Well, they couldn't. They'd be out. They'd be passed out. Your New Year's Eve party is coming up, and it's at a very early time, so you're not going to miss anything, and it's very family friendly. Tell everybody about it.
That's right. 5 to 7:30. There are going to be activities for adults and kids. There'll be a DJ. The dance machine is DJing.
Nice.
Yep. I like that dance. Doing good.
That's
over
all you
there.
Get. You're not putting that on Facebook. No. Where is it, Bet?
City Hall. It's free. There'll be good food.
Free parking, free food, free food, free food.
We're
going to
make
parking.
Wax hands.
You don't.
That is so crazy.
It's creepy.
Dip your hands in all these different vats of wax, and you end up with a sculpture of your hand. I've done it. I did it once before.
Not going to like tie dye.
So did you end up with your skin being much nicer after you did that?
I don't remember that part.
Well, I mean, they have these paraffin wax things that you put your fingers in.
Oh, I thought that was the Palmolive commercial.
Yeah, well, it's that too. No, but they do. They have that, and that's part of like a spa treatment. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering if I'm going to come back away with really pretty hands afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, you're at least taking to dinner where you go after that, or you're dancing or whatever it might be. Are you a big New Year's Eve person? Is this going to wipe you out for the ball dropping going on there at midnight?
No, we don't do too much.
Yeah, take it easy.
So this will be nice. We'll get to celebrate. Then go home probably.
Well, do I need tickets? How much does it cost?
No, it's free. Just show up. You can show up anytime, 5 to 7:30. We're going to have mock midnight at 7, though.
I like that.
And that's really cute.
Yeah, it is.
There's going to be an art unveiling. And
what's that? Well, I know you can't tell me what it's going to be. You can't tell me?
Well,
is it going to be a sculpture, painting? What are we doing here?
Mural?
Yeah, more like that.
Okay.
Okay.
That's right. The only clue I'm
it's
giving.
Like 20 questions. Is it big? Is it small?
Door prizes every half hour.
Door prizes?
And I've got some really nice door prizes.
Did you have community or people from the community donate prizes? How did you do those?
No, we – it's
– Or did you just go through the filing cabinet down there at the City of Bloomington Volunteer
More
Network?
Secrets.
She's not going to tell us how she does that. Okay.
Maybe
okay.
We'll get Margaret involved next year. I know we're going to give her – she's going on her sabbatical, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But me and Bette have an idea for next year's holiday season
nice.
That we're going to put together.
Nice.
All right.
If Bette and I can find 5 minutes to get talk to each other outside of our busy lives. We always joke about the gift card thing, and we're going to try to make something happen about the gift card thing.
Okay.
Wow.
We might have to come down to the Tailored Fit setup shop and get poked with needles or something.
Oh, that, there you go.
That's
I definitely can handle that.
So just keep that in the back of your mind. Give us the phone number one more time.
812-349-3472.
I have that one devoted to memory. Every Wednesday morning, we talk to the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network Director, Bette Savage. She's in the studio with us with Margaret Fetty this morning on Margaret's final show, 11 years. Bette, can you believe it? How long have you been on? We asked Marty Hawk.
I've been in my job since 95. I've probably been on since 2000. That would be my guess.
Yeah, it sounds like you and Marty are around the same time. So that
we should have letter jackets or something.
I know, really. Well,
so I can keep track of everybody. Well, that's awesome. And thanks for coming in this morning.
That's been fun.
Who knows? Maybe we'll bring you back in now that we got a seat to fill. Who knows? We don't know yet. We don't know.
She's got a few things on her agenda too.
That's
I'm
it.
Sure. So,
but we always appreciate your effort on Wednesday too, helping us get that information out to our community.
And we appreciate your support.
Hey, easy stuff. And if you don't like this forecast, blame Bette Savage and Margaret Fetty as they're both in the studio putting this together.
Fair.
45 and sunshine this afternoon. You should be blamed for such wonderfulness as this.
Okay, I'll take it.
51 to open winter tomorrow and 54 on Friday to wrap up the work week. What a deal. Margaret, thank you for your 11 years. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me be here. It's been awfully wonderful. And if you'll let me, I'll step back and see you.
They all say that, Bette, and they never come back because they're all too busy.
That's not true. Jim comes back from time to time.
He does, but how long has that been? We might see the minister tomorrow.
See,
or
it
Friday.
Just depends on the time
it's
of year.
It's a holiday.
Yeah.
That's the key to it.
Yeah.
But thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've done a really nice job.
Thank you very much.
And
I've really
Bette
enjoyed it. And
here.
Thank you for everybody listening to me that has said so many nice things.
Like Charles Records.
Yes.
He was our big winner.
Charles,
he won our first
you.
Prize
that
pack.
That was a sweet thing. And Nat Hill.
Nat Hill, absolutely.
Yes,
sent a nice note.
That was awesome. I really, really do appreciate everybody's nice and kind words. It makes me feel really good that I've been able to be part of this.
You have. You've made an influence here
very
in our
cool.
local community. Thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
Merry Christmas. Happy
Merry
holidays.
Christmas,
thank
happy
you
holidays.
Very much. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Dave Ramsey, he's going to be
next.
That's it. 11 years.
Woohoo.
Congratulations, Margaret.